really up and coming, and this lady is really up and coming. She's Cincinnati, Ohio's regional manager, bronze executive director. She's been with Legal Shield for 7 years. Her background is in advertising. And since being with Legal Shield, she's become a proud owner of BMW, what it's been Performance Club for 63 straight months. I tell you, this lady is headed for platinum. It was full blast going straight ahead, Randy. What a great addition to our team. Someone I respect, someone I like, and someone I'm very pleased that is on our team. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss April Gillespie. I'm sorry. I apologize. I stuttered, just said that. But, ma'am, it's your show, your time. Just have at it. Did she get back on, Randy? Randy?
I'm on, Mr. Moore. I was trying to see she, Miss Gillespie, are you still on the call? Let me see if I accidentally have you muted.
Okay, while she's doing that, I want to congratulate Tony Barkley down in South Carolina. Recruited 3 brand new recruits today. What a deal.
Well, congratulations. Let me see. Do we have April on?
Can you all hear me?
I can hear you now, April. I guess we had you muted out or something. But I apologize, but welcome to the call.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, and definitely appreciate that amazing introduction. And I just have to say this, the days that I get a phone call from Mr. Moore that says, hey, I just want to say congratulations for earning your BMW or congratulations for going bronze, those are some of my best days in Legal Shield. So I just want to say thank you for reaching out and reaching down into the organization. And definitely it's an honor to be on the Moore Success Team call tonight. So,
it's an honor to have you, April. It's an honor for us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Moore. And I think it's always important just to talk about the journey and then to talk about the magic of the part-time story, because I think we always have to take into consideration, you know, most of the people that come inside Legal Shield, when they get started, they're really just looking to earn an extra $300 to $500 a month. And that was what started my journey with this company. I was living in Chicago, making over a six-figure income at the age of 29 when Legal Shield was introduced to me. And unbeknownst to the woman who introduced me, my brother had gotten a Success magazine in the mail from some vitamins that he had ordered. And in the box of vitamins was a Success magazine with a CD in it. And he started listening to it, and he started sending these CDs to me in the mail. And he said, April, this is so amazing. I'm the youngest of six. Youngest of 7. I'm number 7. I've got 6 brothers and sisters. So this is brother number 2 from the top. And we're very close, and he just kept sending me these CDs every single month. This is probably about 2 years before Legal Shield comes into my life. So before Legal Shield even comes into my life, I'm starting to get accustomed to personal development. I'm starting to think differently. And I'm so glad that all of that was inside of God's divine design, because I didn't know that within 2.5, 3 years later that the economic recession would set in and my six-figure income in my 20s would literally virtually disappear before my very eyes. And I don't know if you guys have ever had that feeling when you work so hard to get somewhere and then you get there and you've achieved it, but then after that it's like, oh my gosh, how did all of this just get taken away from me so quickly? And that's what began to happen. But thankfully, again, I'm getting inundated with this personal development, these Success magazine CDs every single month. So my girlfriend, I'll never forget it. I remember it like it was yesterday. She invited me to go to a mutual friend's surprise birthday at a coffee shop on the west side of downtown Chicago. And she hands me a business card, which at the time said prepaid legal on it. I didn't even look at it. I stuck it in my purse. And she said, hey, I want you to come over to my house on a Thursday night. Unbeknownst to me, I would get invited to a private business reception. What I also didn't know was that about 2 weeks prior to that, her parents, who live in Southern California, told her they wanted her to go on vacation with her or with them. And she said, yeah, sure. And they said, yeah, we're going to go to vacation in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, they were actually flying her into an event, a Legal Shield event, that Darnell Self was going to be speaking at. So her first exposure to Legal Shield was Darnell Self. So you can honestly imagine how impacted she was. So she said, oh, my gosh, she's upset at first. This is not vacation. This is a business event. but she's so mesmerized by the positivity of the people. And she's like, wow, this is what you guys have been so excited about. This is what you've wanted me to be a part of. But, you know, she wasn't willing to take a look at it until she got to an event. That is the key for everybody on the line. She wasn't really willing to take a look at it until she got to an event. So once she got to the event, she said, this is amazing. She gets signed up at that event. She comes back to Chicago a few days later. She has a private business reception. I'm one of four people that she invited to the PBR. I'm the only one who signed up. I took her to director pretty much through my recruiting and production over the next few months, and she ended up going to overseas to Romania because she was originally from Romania, and she went to director while she was in Romania. Now, think about that for a second. She did one PBR for me. She went to Romania. The next time I saw her was a national convention. And so when I began to see the power of this business, I said, this is amazing to me. Like, I really need to put some energy behind this. So I'm only 6-7 weeks in the business. I go to my first national convention. She talks about it incessantly. I finally said, okay, Adina, I'm coming. I'm going to go. I went, and it literally changed my life. I'll never forget the first person that I met was Mike Bishop, six-figure ring earner out of Oregon. He was so gracious and kind to me. I was brand new in the business, only a senior associate, maybe about to be manager at the time. And that was my first, that was really my first introduction to Legal Shield. So it's been a journey, guys. I looked at this business very seriously from the very beginning because I began to see things changing in the corporate world. I had put all of my eggs in the advertising basket. I was a vice president at a very young age, and I really thought I had achieved the pinnacle of my industry. I was the envy of all my friends and family. You know, I was out-earning everybody in my family. But then in 2008, 2009, when the name Fannie and Freddie took on a whole new meaning, I began to really look at my future very differently. I began to see that whenever I was working for someone else, that they were really controlling my income. I had only gotten pay raises my whole life, and now I was getting pay cuts. They were restructuring my commissions, and it was really disturbing. So what my girlfriend didn't know, and she told me this after the fact, she said, you know, April, I wasn't even going to invite you to my PBR because I thought you were too successful. So that's the second tip. Tip number one is get them to events. Tip number two is don't prejudge. So I was the most successful person in her professional friend network in Chicago, and she wasn't going to invite me because she thought I was too successful already, and she didn't think that I would take it seriously. But unbeknownst to her, I was the only person who signed up at her private business reception because what she didn't know is that I was already starting to suffer some financial pain. I had already had two pay cuts. I had already had to lay off some of my best friends that I recruited into my company to work for me. I took them out of their good paying jobs and said, come work for me at this company. And within a year, I had to let go all of them. And so you can imagine how traumatic that was for a young person. I mean, I'm a young executive at this point. So it was very traumatic. And so when Legal Shield came in, I said, you know what? This is my answer. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to really put some energy behind this. So that's what I did. I was part-time for, gosh, 4.5, almost 5 of those years. I ended up moving back to Cincinnati, kind of regaining my ground. My mom got ill, helped kind of nurse her back to health, and I started doing a full court press on getting out of debt. I'm happy to say that because of the income that I generated mostly part-time through Legal Shield, I've taken a $58,000 student loan debt. I'm down to $3,600. And I'll be student loan debt-free probably within the next 6 months, which is a miracle because most people are in student loan debt until the day that they retire. So that is my huge testimonial that I always share with people, that this can be done in virtually 5 years. You can be virtually debt-free, which is amazing. And so even when I moved back to Cincinnati and I started working my business again, very part-time, I was working at an HR consulting and advertising company in downtown Cincinnati. Most of the events and the luncheons and all of that were happening about 40 minutes away. And I'll never forget the day that John Drennan, six-figure ring earner, network vice president out of Kentucky, he came and did a briefing for us one night. And I told him my challenge. I said, you know, Mr. Drennan, I really would love to plug into a luncheon, but the luncheons are like 40 minutes away from downtown, and my office is right at the city center. How do I really accomplish this? You know, I'm just finding it a challenge. He said, April, are there restaurants near your office? I said, yeah. He said, well, it sounds like it might be time for you to start something for yourself. And, you know, you can have your team build into it, but, you know, don't wait for somebody else to do it. Just go do it. And he said, you know, just get it started, and then as it grows, you know, then just take it from there. I said, you know what, I'm going to do that. So the very next day, I went into work. On my lunch break, I started walking around to all the restaurants around my office. And I literally right before I was getting ready to quit and give up because I couldn't find any that, you know, didn't have either their menu was too high or they had a $500 minimum, and he told me avoid all that stuff. But I finally, right before I was getting ready to quit, I watched, I'm going to try this last restaurant. I walked in and I said, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. I literally just want to come in, bring 7 to 10 people in here every Friday. Guaranteed you're going to have business every Friday from 12 to 1. And I just want to have a fixed menu, just a few items, $10 all in if you can do that. And that's what I'd like to do. The manager said, awesome, sounds great. So literally the very next week I started my luncheon. And that luncheon is what drove me to Power 20. I was probably only averaging 7 to 12 organizational sales. This is like 2012, okay? Yeah, the year 2012. And by utilizing that luncheon, what it did is it forced me to go out and to prospect on a regular basis. So I was, you know, kind of, you know, like many associates, I thought I was doing the 10 core, and I sort of thought I was doing it until I really began to evaluate my personal activity and started tracking. I said, okay, I really could be doing more. I started to up my exposures. I started doing 2, 3, 4, probably 3 to 4 on average a day. And on my lunch break every day, I would just go to the city center, go to coffee shops, and just pop around and just make friends. No pressure. Hey, I work downtown. Do you work downtown? Yeah, awesome. What building are you in? And that's all I was doing, collecting cards, making friends, collecting cards, making friends. And then I would call them and just say, hey, you know what? I'm actually going to be hosting a networking luncheon on next Friday. I would love for you to come, learn a little bit more about what I do. There's going to be lots of other white-collar professionals there. And I'm going to be doing actually an overview on some amazing services that my company offers. And, you know, it may or may not be for you, but I'd love for you to just come and give me your opinion on it, and maybe you can refer us to some people. Would that be cool? Yeah, awesome. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put you down. You'll probably get a confirmation call from a colleague of mine the day before just to make sure you're still able to make it, okay? And by the way, lunch is on me. So that's what I was doing. I joined a Toastmasters group downtown as well just to, again, meet more people, kind of hone my presentation skills because now I got to get really good at the presentation because I have to do it every Friday. And that was good for me, though. So I learned how to do a quick 30-minute briefing luncheon-style presentation every week. So I would grab my laptop, go down, hook it up to the TV, and did that presentation every single week. I got really good at it. I'll never forget it. My first luncheon, I had 10 guests there, and 9 of them bought the membership, and I think 1 or 2 about a week later became an associate, but I had 9 membership in my first week. I'll never forget it. I called Chris Hughes, and I said, this is amazing. I made like, you know, $1,300 an hour, and so he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad you did that, you know, and that's really what helped to drive my momentum and drive my volume so that I could start to really see the light at the end of the tunnel of Power 20 and then eventually executive director. But it really was just a different level of ownership that I began to have about my business because now it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to show up at the briefing only and, you know, somebody else sets everything up. Although I was running registration even back then at the briefing, I had ownership, but it's just different when it's your event. So that was just what worked for me. I'm not saying everyone should go out there and start their own luncheon. If you have a luncheon that you can consistently plug into that's convenient for you, you've got to look at that luncheon not as, oh, I'm just going to go to this luncheon. Look at it like you own that luncheon. Look at it as, I've got to get guests in here, because if I don't get guests in here, I'm going to be eating by myself every week. And that's the way I had to look at that event. So that really helped really to kind of groom me into a regional manager, because when our RN stepped down, I already knew what it took to fill a room. I already knew what it took to put my credit card on.
Did we lose Ms. Gillespie?
I think we lost her, Annie.
Okay. April, can you hear me? I still
can you guys still hear me?
Now I can hear you. We lost you for a second. You're back. No,
okay. All right. And so so it was such a different level of ownership that I began to have. And I would just say that's a huge step in your leadership and in your growth as an associate, is to take ownership of your briefing, take ownership of your luncheon. So that's really what helped to kind of push me to that next level of Power 20. And then the next thing, if you're taking notes, is Super Saturdays. I treated Super Saturdays like they were everything. I had the privilege of being on a Go Director call many years ago, and I'll never forget Mike Melia said, one of the biggest things that will pay you more money than anything else in Legal Shield is how to build for events and how to promote for events. So I took that very seriously early on, even though I didn't even really have anybody following me at that moment. I knew the importance of it because he stressed it so extensively. So I began to make Super Saturday like game day. I mean, it was everything to me. Like, if I watched Super Saturday with less than three guests, I was so mad at myself. So I made it my mission those previous 4 weeks to ensure that my pipeline was full enough so that I made sure that I had no less than three. That was just my mantra. Three or more, three or more, three or more. And I knew if I was going to have three or more, I had to probably have eight, maybe even nine confirmed if I wasn't able to pick some of those people up. So that was just my big thing, is build into Super Saturday. Make Super Saturday like the Super Bowl every single month. And I still do that. We do contests here in Cincinnati when we have Super Saturday, and we typically give away a $100 bill to the person who has the most guests. Well, I get that $100 bill almost every single month, because even now as a bronze, I know that I have to continue to lead by example. I want my team, I want my marketplace to look at my activity and say, not only is she putting on this event, which that's a whole level of responsibility, getting the guests and booking the room and making sure you have all the volunteers, and it's a lot of work, but I don't want that to be my excuse and say, oh, because I'm putting on this event, I can't get any guests out. No, that's a bunch of BS. I can do the work. I need to do the work anyway to build my business, and I want to lead from the front by making sure that I'm always having three or more. And typically I have five to six at every single Super Saturday. So that's just my mantra, is build big into Super Saturdays. Never miss that event and treat it like it is everything for your business. Treat it like it's everything. So that's the next big tip. And then lastly, the last thing that I really began to focus on was personal development. There's a book that actually Chris Hughes recommended that I read, which is called The Power of the Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy. We all come into this business with mental garbage, unfortunately, whether that's from things that we learn from our parents or from the jobs that we've had, or just the disappointments of life that unfortunately have caused us to maybe not believe on the level that we should be or that we want to be. And I know that I definitely struggle with that, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect at it today, but I knew that I had some psychic dirt in my brain that needed to get pushed out. And the only way to do that was through heavy personal development. So, you know, I really locked in on that 10 pages a day and 15 minutes of a good audio. I locked in on it like it was biblical. Like, I have to get this done today. And I don't care if it meant I was up until 1 o'clock in the morning getting my 10 pages done. I had to do it. And it's amazing that the more you start doing something, not only the easier it gets, but the better at it you get. And now I'm a really fast reader, which I didn't start off like that 4 to 5 years ago. You know, I read actually kind of slow. But now, I mean, my husband calls me the book monster versus the cooking monster because I can read a whole book in probably a day to a day and a half now, whereas before it would take me like a month, you know, to read a whole book. So I would just say, focus on that. Focus on your personal development, because I knew that if I were to be worthy of leading a huge volunteer army one day, it was going to be required that I grow into the woman, that I grow into the leader, that I grow into the person of influence that would be worthy of being modeled. See, when we come into this business, oftentimes we're not yet worthy of being modeled, and we don't understand why people aren't following us. And I struggled with that for about my first year. It's like people would come and they would go, and they would come and they would go. And I said, what is going on here? And then the more I showed up and the more I heard leaders say, you know, you've got to become worthy of being modeled. And so I really focused on that and began to really zone in on my personal development, read all the John C. Maxwell leadership books, and just really locked in on that concept of PD. So overdose on your personal development if you aren't already, but that is definitely something that began to develop me into a person that people would actually be attracted to versus repelled by, you know. And that may or may not be you, but all of us have things about ourselves that just may not be that attractive, whether it's our attitude or, you know, the way we respond to things. And it really takes a lot of courage to work through that, what I call the psychic dirt, so that eventually you can become that unconditionally loving leader that everybody wants to be around, like our fearless leader, Mr. Kim Moore. I mean, you couldn't be around him longer than, you know, 30 seconds and not know that he just has unconditional love for you. And not everybody is naturally gifted with that. Some of us have to develop into that. And it's inside all of us, but personal development brings it out. So that's about all I have for tonight, Mr. Moore. I know that was kind of a mouthful in about 20 minutes, but I hope that that gave some insight into my journey. And I do look forward to being a Platinum Executive Director inside the Moore Success Team. And my name is April Gillespie Hurst. I'm just getting started. I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Moore.
Randy?
Yes, Ms. Gillespie. Have you got just a minute? We may have a question or comment from some of our top executives on the team.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's just go. Let's go out to the state of Arizona and Millionaire Club member Miss Linda Bowden. Linda, are you on?
Yes, I am, Randy. That was really wonderful to listen to your journey. And all I can say is I'd like to check in on you in about 5 years to see where you're at. The journey is the best part.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I've watched you for many years, Miss Bowden. You've been a great inspiration to me. So thank you for saying that.
Oh, and I was also going to say, I've read, I used to give out Joseph Murphy's book, especially that one, the power, that you had mentioned, to the team. And it's a real interesting book. And if you do some of the exercises, and I mean, the book was written in 1960, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you do some of those exercises and write them out, it will be pretty interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely encourage folks to do that. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, Ms. Bowden. Let's go out to Alabama and another Millionaire Club member, Mr. Jimmy Parrish. Jimmy, are you on?
Can you hear me, Randy?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm just telling you, we just to get you off the caffeine, Mr. Leslie. I'm telling you, you've had a lot of trick-or-treat candy tonight, haven't you? I'm just kidding you. It's exciting to hear that enthusiasm and that passion about the product. People would say to me a lot of times, I can tell you enjoy what you do and that you like and that you're passionate about the product because of your enthusiasm. And I'm just excited to hear that from you. And It's just refreshing to hear that kind of spirit, that enthusiasm. And I just want to commend you. I remember seeing you across the stage at the Moore Team Breakout a couple of years ago in Oklahoma City, getting some recognition. And I just know we're going to see a lot more of that, not only with the Moore Success Team, but also with Legal Shield in general. I commend you for what you've done so far and look forward to seeing you continue to progress with our company.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And, again, you're someone that I have looked up to for many years, so it's humbling, honestly, to be on this call tonight and to hear feedback from Millionaire Club members. But it's very inspiring and encouraging, so thank you again.
Thank you. Congratulations.
All right, I believe we have time for one more. Let's go out to another ring earner who's actually traveling, and that's Mr. Damian Schieber. Damian, you got a question?
I do. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, cool deal. Ms. Gillespie, awesome job. And real quick, you know, we've got a lot of people listening on the call that may be stuck at a plateau, whether that's manager or senior manager, director, you know, even senior director, right, where they're qualifying, but just struggling to get to the next level. And, you know, I know in your journey that I'm sure you came across those plateaus as well. What did you do to bust out through those plateaus to get to the executive director level specifically?
That is a great question, and I'm so glad you asked it because I meant to cover that when I was talking. I remember the specific time, almost to the date, and the event that I was at when I made that transition. Dave Savula came into Cincinnati for an event, God rest his soul. And that was the Super Saturday that I think I had 7 guests at. I had 3 associates who signed up on the spot. 2 became members, 1 said no. And I remember it was at that event where I made that decision. We often say big decisions are made at big events. And the decision at that event, which came right after, it was the Super Saturday, right after the National Convention, and I was at the director level. I had maybe powered 21 times. And that was the decision that I made. I said, you know what? I'm going executive director. And the big thing that made a difference for me was I began to track. And it sounds so simple, but this was right around the time when the company came out with a 90-day run sprint document. And what that did for me is it made me realize I could no longer lie to myself. I cannot say to myself, I did 15 or 10 exposures this week when I really didn't. So I did, that's the first thing I began to track, and I actually got serious about getting a workout partner, which I have come to realize a lot of people don't take that role seriously. And I have 2 workout partners right now, one that's kind of a B2B workout partner, one that's more of a networking workout partner. None of them are in Cincinnati. One's in Chicago. One is in Oregon. But I got really serious about that workout partner and talking to them, texting with them every single day. And they would inspire me, and I would inspire them. And I always wanted to find somebody that was working just a little bit harder than I was to really help push my activity to the next level. So that really made a difference for me. In addition to that, I was at a Super Saturday. I asked Steve Mealy. I said, Mr. Mealy, if you could give me one piece of advice to get to executive director, what would it be? I love to ask that question to different ring earners. And he said, simple, April, get 10 people in 3 different legs to the next national convention. So that's what I did. I got 9, 369 plus me was 10 and 3 different legs. And boom, I went executive director that month for the first time. So that would be my advice. Track.
Did we lose you, Randy?
I hope that's helpful.
Randy?
That was awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Gillespie.
Awesome. Thank you.
Can you hear me, Ms. Gillespie?
Yeah, I can hear you, Mr. Moore.
Well, good. I want to tell you, you're so inspiring. You're not only a beautiful lady, you have a heart of gold. It's an honor to have you on our team, but it's an honor to have you in Legal Shield. And, you know, I've been doing this well over three decades. You are not only a star, you're a rising star, and we're looking forward to many, many things from you, and thank you for your inspiration tonight. God bless you. We always say this on our calls, but we say, God first, family second, Legal Shield third. I say that to each of you tonight and say I love each of you tonight. Thank you. God bless you, and good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.